This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It's been kind of a slow couple weeks here around
the shop. Really?
Yeah, for some reason, it's, I think it's February. People are kind of recovering from all the holidays we've had. And, of course, this week is Valentine's Day, so we might see something from that. But what's cool is there's been a lot of blending energy going on around the shop.
Yeah.
Here. So I've been focusing on some new stuff here that we're going to try to roll out the next couple weeks for the shop. Which I think will be a lot of fun. I hope our aromatic pipe tobacco smokers will be very, very pleased with that. We'll see where all that goes.
That fits the season a little bit. The aromatic, flowery nature. I mean, I got to think about like how holidays impact the pipe tobacco buying.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about how much sweet stuff you eat and consume between like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then, of course, we've got
New Year's.
In the Deep South, we've got, Lent that we king cakes and stuff. And move on towards Valentine's Day and St. Patty's Day. I don't know. It's just it's kind of fun to mark those things with different tobacco.
Well, it's interesting to me that Thanksgiving, for example, big meal, you don't want to smoke your pipe after that. Christmas, you've got all of these seasonal Christmas blends that happen. New Year's, some people go the cigar route on New Year's, but
we're
true blue in the pipe way. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think about Valentine's and how you're going to be spending your time with your significant other and how many stories we've gotten in of my significant other hates that I smoke a pipe. And so I wonder if that might be impacting the slow, slow traffic the last couple days.
I wanted to smoke my pipe for Valentine's Day, but she sent me out to the shed in the backyard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I spent my Valentine's Day. It was just me and my pipe, and it was glorious.
It was glorious.
It was romantic. Well, man, look, we've got a great show tonight. At the top of the show, though, we want to give a special shout out to, of course, the Pipe Club members. Last week, we mentioned on the show, of course, that we are putting it out to the Pipe Club to kind of design and get creative on coming up with a logo for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
Yeah.
If you are a club member, head over to patreon.com/Country Squire Radio. The blog post is out there now, kind of talking a little bit about what the goal is behind that. And we're leaving it somewhat open-ended in terms of we're not necessarily putting on a date per se when all entries must be in, nor are we giving too much direction. But I do want to say this, the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club is unlike any other pipe club that exists. There is a uniqueness that connects everybody that's involved in this. And, the fact that we have kind of this podcast element, that's something that no other, pipe club really has.
It's pretty unique.
And so, as you're kind of thinking about that, just, think about what makes us unique and remember that we don't have to be traditional in the sense that our pipe club doesn't have to feel or look like the norm, so to speak. And so I'm really excited to see. I know we've got tons of creative folks that are club members, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what some of that comes in. But again, if you go to patreon.com/countrysquireradio and you're a club member, you'll see that blog post. But man, I also want to give a shout out at the top of the show to those that are not necessarily club members but are making this podcast happen. They've become patrons for $1 per episode.
We've got folks that are just helping us out that aren't full club members, but we sure do appreciate them helping us on a weekly basis. Andrew Del Quadro, Mike, Jim Lambing, Eric Wirt, Jeff Blackman, Filippo, and Jeff Mason.
Yeah, big shout out to you guys. And I wanted to do, I wanted to do you guys justice. That's why John David read your names.
And I probably got it wrong too. Yeah.
It's a rite of passage.
That's right.
Show.
That's right. Yeah. If you're involved in the show enough for us to butcher your name, you kind of accomplish. You get some.
Oh, you've arrived.
You get some credit for that. Some kind of star points or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, I want to mention something that kind of interesting. It's only lightly tied to pipes here at the top of the show. Real quick, I had the opportunity this last past weekend. We were celebrating my father's birthday, and we were over at my parents' house.
Yeah,
and I did something. While I was there, I was going back up and looking for, some of our old toys and that sort of thing. I found my parents' record collection. You know.
Oh, sweet.
You know, a lot of what a lot of people have come to the pipe because they found like, you know, their parents' pipe collection or their grandfather's. Right. There's like kind of this legacy
that
thing.
That happens all the time.
You know, and I'm reminded too about Tim, the no longer intern, who shared kind of the story of like when he found. Or when he started smoking a pipe and his parents found out and his dad brought out his father's pipe.
Gave him his old Stanwell. Yeah.
And there is kind of an element of when you find kind of these artifacts from, you know, your parents or your grandparents, it kind of like awakens something that you didn't realize about them.
Sure.
And so as I was combing through this these old things, now I found this stack of records.
Yeah.
Vinyl records that were owned by my mom and my dad at one point in their life. And I mean, their names are on it and everything else. I feel like I got to know my parents a little bit.
Did you find some gems that were maybe a little surprising?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. And I'm telling you, man, it opened my eyes. But it did make me think. I pulled a bunch of them and brought them to the studio and was listening to them this morning. And we'll kind of be doing that throughout the week, just kind of getting in touch with my roots there from that standpoint. But it did make me think about the fact that, you know, vinyl records in the pipe, I mean, that seems like it goes together like chocolate and peanut butter. In the sense that before
absolutely.
Chocolate and peanut butter, you wouldn't have thought about that.
No, but right.
They
right.
totally go together.
Yeah.
There might be something there, you know, pairing up music.
Maybe perhaps another pairing?
Maybe
we could have a vinyl pairing along with our, you know, barbecue short ribs.
This is what I was worried about. I tried to sneak it in there.
I see what you're doing.
There.
Yeah, I'm on to you now.
Okay.
We're looking for all kinds of pairings, right? I mean, you know, we got.
I think.
We could have a American sedan pairing with your favorite pipe tobacco.
Cigar jukebox. They pair up.
They do
music with cigars.
Hey, great guys over there. We love them. You know, music and cigars. Pipe tobacco.
I'm saying it's out there. Y'all let us know. And by the way, speaking of letting us know when it comes to this show, you know, from time to time, it's been a while, but we've got a series that's called Pipe Culture, where we take a look at various aspects of kind of the culture that surrounds the pipe. If you've never listened to one of those shows, go back, check out the archives, listen to a few of them to get a sense of what they are. But it's kind of where we look at these different kind of commonalities that exist within the pipe world. It's not necessarily something that we kind of work towards or anything, but just something that kind of happens organically. And a suggestion was brought out from a pipe club member, actually, about doing a show on archetypes.
Yeah.
You know, pipe smoking archetypes. Now, the one that was mentioned was specifically the grandfather archetype. But I kind of want to just kind of put that out there. We'd like to collect kind of your feedback. When you think of a pipe smoker, what are the archetypes that kind of go around that? You know, I have some immediate things that calls to mind. I'm not even going to mention them right now because I really want to pitch it out to you guys.
We'd like to get, you know, feedback on just what are the first things that come to your mind on, you know, hey, I'm a pipe smoker. This is the, you know, kind of quintessential pipe smoker. Where does your mind go with that?
Exactly. So send those in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Just put pipe culture in the title and that'll allow me to find it easily. And in the next coming weeks, we'll put together a pipe culture episode based on your thoughts and theories on archetypes. So
yeah.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Great idea. A couple more news items too.
Yeah.
Of course, in early March, we're really excited to have a trunk show here at the Country Squire.
Right, yeah.
Pete Prevost, our good friend at Briarworks Pipes, he's actually going to come down and have the spread out here at our shop. March 11th is the day. Free to enter. It's going to be great discounts on just super American made pipes right here in the United States. Pete and all the guys at Briarworks do such a good job and have a lot of exciting things kind of to announce this coming year. And so we're looking forward to learning more about that and are fired up to see Pete. So if you're in the Jackson area, March 11th or around, we'd love to have you come for the Briarworks Trunk Show. Also, a week from today, Bo, do you know what a week from today is?
The week from today is it's the week from the day before Valentine's Day.
That's right. That is right. It is also well known as International Pipe Smoking Day.
Oh!
It's 220, baby.
All again?
It's not 420, it's 220.
That's right.
And so, man, we're excited about it. We'll hopefully have our new blends out by then, but we will definitely be running some tobacco promotions on our website, thecountrysquireonline.com. So check that out. We're fired up about that and look forward to putting more out about that.
Man, that, wow.
It's
you exciting. Know, I remember last International Pipe Smoking Day, I was here at the shop and I was busting open. I was trying to smoke Penzance for the first time.
Yeah.
And it turned out that it wasn't actually Penzance. But now I actually do have some Penzance.
You had like line one Q or something.
No, it wasn't that. It was another like very like hard to get tobacco, and it was quite delicious.
Oh, no, it was actually Stonehaven.
That's what it was.
It's funny, and I like Stonehaven better than I do Penzance.
That's what a lot of people said. Yeah,
that's funny. It was like, man, this isn't even Penzance. Yeah, but it's Stonehaven. That's even better.
It was interesting. I remember I was smoking Stonehaven and then got some Chinese takeout right afterwards. That is how I spent International Pipe Smoking Day last year. So.
And then you were in the bathroom all night. I'm just kidding.
But not this year, man.
But maybe.
We've got a lot of good stuff that's happening, as you mentioned. But man, let's jump into tonight's episode, because I think tonight's talking about a subject matter that I think many can relate to, especially if you've been in the game for quite some time. And that is dealing with broken pipes.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
A lot of times people write into the show about like, I've got this broken pipe and, you know, oh, this happened.
What
and
do I do?
Yeah. You know, we've got our, our usual suspects in terms of those that we recommend in terms of, you know, reviving pipes.
That's
but
right.
If you're in a pinch and you need to fix it yourself, what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. We wanted to do an episode on kind of do-it-yourself repairman for pipes, right? So, and you know, there's not just a hem and a pinch and what do? I've broken my stem, or there's a crack in the shank, or, you know, I bit through the end of my stem or something like that. You know, a lot of pipe smokers, you know, not only are they in a pinch, but they're also just really cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, the pipe smokers are notoriously cheap. You know, you think about, you know.
Frugal.
Frugal. Let's go frugal. Yeah, no. I think you're onto something there. No, it's interesting. I see it every day. You know, like you and me, we're real price conscious when we're, you know, thinking about tobaccos and things. You know, you think about a tin of tobacco, your favorite tin of pipe tobacco, might cost you anywhere between $10 and $20. And you get multiple smokes out of that. And a cigar smoker, they're going to spend $12 on one cigar. In 45 minutes, it's gone. So, I mean, pipe smokers are just conscious about this kind of thing. And so we've got a lot of folks that, you know, they break their pipe. Matter of fact, someone today, they had broken the end of their pipe stem. And, you know, he came in and he was like, well, you've just got a pipe stem that I can just put on the end of this, right?
And
I said, no, you know, sir, the stem has to be custom fit to the pipe. We send it off. We get either the stem repaired or new stem put on there. And he was like, well, how much is that going to cost? And I kind of gave him a rough quote. And he was like, well, I'll just buy a new pipe, you know?
Well, so. You know, it's interesting because I will bet that there are people listening right now, especially kind of newer pipe smokers, that are surprised to hear that you can't just take another stem and stick it in there and you're good to go.
That's right. That's right. You know, and there are options. If you get online, you can go to some of these pipe repair and pipe maker where, you know, supply houses. Vermont Freehand comes to mind where, you know, you can order a stem and measure the diameter of the tenon and, you know, try to get a close fit, but you're still going to have to probably do some sanding and some, you know, polishing and stuff like that just to get a really good fit. So, but anyway, we wanted to talk about this. Like, okay, I'm doing it myself. I'm either in a pinch or I just don't feel like paying someone a bunch of money to fix my pipe. And what do I do? So, of course, we wanted to just talk about kind of the main categories of pipe brokenness, as it were. So I guess we'll start with I bit a hole in the stem.
Oh, snap.
And so, no, the snap's coming later. That's later in the episode.
This is the old Mike Tyson here.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I bit the old air off the Evander Holyfield pipe.
Right.
So we've got, you know, if you do bite the end off your stem, there are a couple options here. So if you have a pipe and it was a real kind of a clean bite on the end where there's just a chunk that's removed from it, a lot of times folks will buy these rubber pipe bits that you can actually slip over the end of your pipe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, are you familiar with that?
I think so.
It's a softy pipe bit, and it just kind of goes right over the end.
It's like a prevention method, though, right?
It is, typically, but a lot of times, if your pipe has just a chip on the end of the stem, you can slip that over, and it'll cover just enough for you to kind of use it and not really think about the fact that it's chipped.
Oh, so, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it actually works pretty good. You know, think about the end of your stem, and if a little hunk of it is missing, you can put that, you know, bit over the end and you never even really know the difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just terrified for the pipe smoker that notices, oh, there's a chunk missing and didn't realize that, oh, you swallowed it or something.
Yeah, well, we'll find that in a couple of days. So that's one option. A lot of times, though, the bite off the end of the the stem or the chunk that's missing off the end of the stem is much more severe. And in that case, you're actually going to have to remove part of the stem. And so some folks will actually take like a little Dremel tool or something where you're actually going to saw off the end of the stem.
Now what now?
A Dremel tool. Okay. It's something that you buy at this place called Home Depot.
Okay.
Which is where they do home supply and repair things.
Yes. Now I'm familiar with the shop, okay. Just not the tool.
But you'll take something like that and actually kind of saw off the end of the stem. What you have to do from there, though, just to make sure you're going to be easy on your mouth, you, of course, can use that rubber bit that a lot of folks will put over the end. But a lot of folks will actually start with some high grit sandpaper and then work their way up to finer and finer sandpaper and actually try to sand that end down so it's just real smooth on the end.
Interesting.
And that way you're not just putting a jagged ebonite end into your mouth. You know, you're actually putting something that is smooth and relatively more comfortable.
How rough does sandpaper have to be to work on ebonite?
You know, it actually, you start at a grit, you know, anywhere it can be between 1 and 300, you know, anywhere in there.
Okay.
Between that grit, and then typically kind of work up from there. Now that's just what I do kind of here in house.
Sure,
you know, we've
sure,
probably
sure.
got pipe makers and pipe restoration folks that that do different things than me, but typically that's kind of where I start. And then kind of work up from there. Wet sanding really helps too. So if you're actually while you're sanding it, kind of wetting the end of the stem, it'll really just add a little additional texture there to get it a little finer sand. So which is nice. But another option too, if you've got a hole that you've bit through the stem, a lot of times, if you think like your canine tooth, you know, let's say like bites a hole straight through the stem into the airway.
Okay, yeah.
What some folks have kind of learned to do is you can actually fill that hole. They make now a black super glue, which is really cool. And so you can use that to kind of patch the hole up. So the problem with it is you got to be careful because that glue can block up the airway of the pipe.
Right.
And so a lot of people will, they'll take, some type of media and stick in the airway. It can be a pipe cleaner, more preferably if there's enough room in there for you to get like a small dowel rod or even a little shim of, wood or something that you can kind of stick in there. And then you apply the black super glue on top, and then once it kind of cures, you pull your spacer out and then just sand it down really good. So yeah, but kind of a neat idea. Our good friend Two Combs with Rocks Pipes, I had a Sheraton that was gifted to me, a 1975 Sheraton from London. Actually, it was a really beautiful little pipe, but it had a perfect little hole just bitten right through the end of the stem, and he was able to go in and use that black super glue and just make it look really sharp. So that's some options on, okay, what do I do if I've kind of bitten off the end of my pipe? Yeah.
All right. Now that makes sense. Although again, I have never experienced that. Have you ever actually bit off part of your pipe?
I never have. Yeah, I never have. I don't know.
But have you, like the one that really kind of sticks out to me is the vampire thing of like sticking your tooth all the way to
all the way into the air hole. Yeah. And people come in, I'm like, I'm almost impressed sometimes.
I'm not even mad.
I'm just impressed. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm at, you're going for the whole Swiss cheese look with your Savinelli. Yeah.
I mean, to some extent, ebonite is relatively malleable, phraseology.
It's a kind of a soft rubber.
Yeah. I mean, and from anybody who clinches, I mean, I guess some of that does come normal wear and tear. If you smoke your pipe often and you do clinch, then that is just something that is going to eventually happen at some point.
And again, you mentioned it earlier, those rubber bits that we sell, the softy pipe bits, I think they're like $1 a piece or something, but it's a preventative thing for the most part. But a lot of people, because they, are hard on their pipes and abuse them and the stems wind up, marred in some way, they'll actually use them, kind of as a cover up, and it lets you continue to use the stem of your pipe without having to get it redone.
All right. That is if you Mike Tyson your pipe.
So that's if you Mike Tyson your pipe. That's right. If you snap the stem off at the tenon, there's some options too. So think, bang your pipe on the end of your ashtray or something like that, or dropped it and, it snapped. So the tenon is stuck in the wood, but you've got this loose stem. This is really frustrating, and it's one of the most common stem breaks that happens. And
yeah.
Of course, the fix for it is going to be, more intensive than just putting a, rubber softy bit over the end of your stem. But a lot of people, the problem comes when you've got a, you know, your tenon is stuck in the wood, right? And so a lot of times what you have to do is take either a drill, or some people can even use a corkscrew and actually screw it into that tenon that's stuck in there and then pull it out. So drills typically seem to work better just because you've got kind of a narrow diameter there. And you have to be careful too, especially like this is my Bing's favorite. It's just got a real small, you know, kind of more fragile shank on there.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. But remove the tenon. And then a lot of folks will actually do their own tenon repair work. Again, you can get online and go to one of these pipe repair, you know, supply houses, pipe maker supply houses, and order, you know, rods of ebonite or even Delrin. Delrin is kind of the gold standard nowadays for tenons on pipes because it's super heat resistant. It really won't expand or contract, so it just has a really tight fit that lasts. It's just a really good material to use for tenons. A lot of times what you can do is you know, drill the old tenon out of the stem where that was and then pop a new one in. If you do that, use some kind of clear epoxy, a two-part epoxy, just something that's going to have a nice strong seal. But the thing I understand about Delrin, it doesn't take too naturally to the bond. So you have to, in other words, kind of rough up the sides of the tenon before you stick it in there. Basically, you're giving the sides of the tenon something for the epoxy to grab onto. So anyway, all that to say, you know, you're just taking it and putting a new tenon in there. It's going to require, you know, a good bit of more labor. A lot of folks, though, they'll actually, kind of interesting, they'll go to your hardware store or the Home Depot or something and buy a nylon spacer. It's a spacer is a little nylon plastic looking tube thing that you put on the end of like a bolt or something that will, you know, kind of leave the head sticking out of whatever surface. It's kind of hard to explain, but if you go to, you know, go to your local hardware store, ask them for a spacer, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Kind of like when you drill a hole and then you're going to be screwing something back into that hole that you actually put that plastic piece in there first.
Yeah, that's okay, right. Gotcha. That's right. And so the idea is, you know, you use the spacer in place of the tenon. And you can kind of use that. Again, you're probably going to have to work it down some and things like that. But just an option for you. Another option too, you know, you've got the stem that snapped off and you really, you know, don't have access to another stem and you don't want to pay for one. You can do what, you know, the ancient people did and use either a reed or piece of bamboo.
Right.
So, you know, just take your pipe and, you know, get any kind of nice, you know, tube, you know, structure. You know, we found these old Indian pipes, you know, and of course, a lot of times they were, you had a clay bowl, but then there was just a reed stuck in the end of it that was kind of used to pull the smoke out of.
So, hey, man, it's
pretty cool.
It's a classic approach right
there.
That's right.
So that's an option for you as well. The cracked shank is a really painful one. That's one of those where, you know, the shank of your pipe there's a kind of a hairline crack that'll start to appear, typically right at the end of the shank where it meets the mouthpiece. And that's a really troubling one because
if that occurs, I mean, is you know, cause I can imagine with the snapped stem.
Yeah.
Most stems are going to be more vulnerable than, say, the briar of the pipe, right? So if you actually come up with like a cracked shank, does that imply that there's some sort of defect in the shank, or could that actually also happen with wear and tear?
Wear and tear, particularly if it's just a real, you know, kind of thin-walled shank where the mortise hole is you know, wide enough to not leave a lot of wood material between that and the outside of the shank. You know, it really can be a fragile area, and just, you know, with pulling the stem in and out of the pipe, you know, you'll find that sometimes a hairline crack will start to develop. So typically, you know, if you have a pipe like that and you send it off to a pipe repairman, on average, what they're going to do is put a metal band around the end of that shank. And so, you know, you'll actually get a little nickel or sterling band that will go on the, you know, around the end of the shank. And what that's doing is just putting enough pressure on that shank in order to keep it from that crack from spreading at all, which is kind of neat. So, but you know, a lot of times you don't have that option at home. So what folks I've seen do, it's kind of funny. You can actually take like copper wire, which is pretty cool, and you can wrap that copper wire around your pipe and make like, you know, just a really tight, tight band around the end of your pipe with a copper wire, and it actually can make your pipe look really cool also.
I can imagine that it look awesome, but isn't copper kind of a pretty big heat conductor? Wouldn't that potentially get kind of
to be honest, I don't know. Yeah.
I'd be curious to try that one.
Yeah. Kind of different. It'd be one of those things you'd have to just trial and error. But
right.
But that's an option for you. A lot of folks too, what I have heard some success with, if you think about, okay, you got a crack in your windshield of your car.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, when you get that crack repaired, what they do is they go to the end of wherever the crack is forming, and they'll actually drill a hole in the end of the crack. And what they're doing is creating a clean area so that that crack doesn't spread any further.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that same exact thing on your pipe. And so if your pipe has a hairline crack that's kind of coming out, you can actually go to the end of that crack and actually drill a hole in the side of your shank and prevent that crack from spreading any further. Now you'll want to cover that up almost immediately with, you know, some type of, you know, epoxy or clear super glue or something like that. That'll just make sure that stays, you know, well bonded. But
would pipe mud work as well?
I probably would not use pipe mud on that part of the pipe. That's a lot better for building cake on the inside.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, one thing, a lot of folks, if they are afraid of the inside of their pipe starting to, you know, it's starting to burn out, it's kind of threatening, you know, maybe the wall's getting a little thin, that's where you might take some cigar ash and maybe some honey or something like that and make your own pipe mud there and put on the side of your pipe. Mm. So just an option. And then, of course, probably the most common thing is my stem is too loose. What do I do if my stem's too loose?
Man, I've got one of my favorite pipes right now. That is the situation.
Yeah, and it drives us crazy, right? Like, it's one of those things that is just always happening. Even if you're really, really kind to your pipe and are sure not to take your stem out, you know, while it's hot and things of that nature, our pipes just get loose. It can even be the humidity in the air or the temperature or whatever. You know, the little loose pipe fairy comes and sneezes on your pipe and then it's just loose.
So, yeah. I mean, like, especially, you know, we're down south. If you talk about the temperature changing as rapidly as it is, one day
that's
it's
right.
Like, you know, you're burning up in shorts, and then the next day it's, you know, break out the winter gear again. If you leave your pipe out in the car for just one day, you know.
What's interesting is if it's a little loose, but not super loose, a lot of times if you just smoke your pipe, continue to smoke it, it'll actually tighten back up.
Because it expands.
It's just funny. It'll just tighten up on its own, which is kind of interesting. So stick with it a little bit. But I always say our first stop on the loose stem map is beeswax. We always go to beeswax first.
Now, do you mind your own?
I do mind my own beeswax.
Okay.
And I suggest that you mind your own beeswax.
I do my best. I'm not that great.
Don't
at
you
it.
Mind my beeswax?
I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't want to think
of it. I always recommend folks stop at beeswax first because it's very uninvasive. It's easy. It's something readily available. And beeswax is just an easy go-to. You can get beeswax at your local farmer's market. Sometimes even, you know, places like Hobby Lobby or, you know, Michael's or where, you know, one of these art craft supply places, they'll have beeswax occasionally as well. But, you know, if you get some beeswax, you can actually smear some around the end of your tenon and just make sure that there's kind of an even layer around there. And then when you jam it in your pipe, you know, that wax is just going to give it enough of an opportunity to make a tighter seal. And as you heat the pipe up as well, that wax will start to just create a thicker layer inside that mortise hole. Just something that your stem can grab onto a little easier. So so that is an option. A lot of folks too, what they'll do, and I have heard some pipe makers use this trick, is they can take a Q-tip and just dip it in a little bit of super glue. Now, you have to be real careful about this because you can mess up quickly. But on the side of the Q-tip, not the end, but on the side, you just put a little super glue, go inside that mortise hole, and just put a very small film of super glue on the inside of the mortise hole. And that'll put just enough of kind of a you know, a expanded area there just so that tenant has a little more something to grab onto.
So in that situation, you're not necessarily like gluing the stem in. It's just more of like letting it dry, and then that way you've got the extra layer.
Extra layer.
Okay,
I got you. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking, I was like, well, man, if you're going to do that, then make sure you got a straight shot right through that pipe.
No, exactly. Yeah, so that's an option as well. A lot of folks too, you know, and I've done this before, you know, heat is our friend when we want to expand anything. So they make these tapered punches or awls, something that you might punch through, let's say like a piece of leather with or something like that. And a lot of times these things start really small on the end. It's just a rod that starts at a small point, but as it travels up, it gets wider and wider. And a lot of times if you can figure out a way to heat the end of your tenon up, and then as it heats up, slowly apply pressure to that punch.
Yeah,
as it goes inside the tenon, it'll actually start to expand.
It squishes down and expands
now
out.
You have to be careful about this because, you know, obviously your tenon is a fixed thing and it, you know, it can break if you apply too much pressure too quickly. A lot of times people actually will hold the tenon over a candle and actually just kind of heat the tenon up that way.
Huh.
You got to be careful because the tip of that flame is super, super hot. And so you've got to continually kind of rotate your stem there and just
rotisserie, you know, situation.
Rotisserie on your tenon there, but you know, just kind of let it heat up and then take that punch or that awl and just kind of shove it in there, just very gently, a little bit at a time. And if you're patient with it and can work it enough, once it cools, you know, you've got a wider tenon that will fit tighter inside your pipe. The only other thing I'll mention too, sometimes your stem is too tight, and a lot of folks don't have the proper you know, sanding material or something. If that tenon is actually the opposite problem, it's too tight.
Huh.
You can actually take, oddly enough, a pencil, just a graphite pencil, and just rub graphite, the you know, carbon on the end of that stem of the tenon. And what you're doing, the graphite is enough of a gritty material that it'll actually remove some of the material off the tenon. And
really?
So it works almost like a little tiny piece of sandpaper. And so you can use actually just a pencil to do that. If you rub enough carbon on the end of your tenon, it'll wear down that tenon just enough so that it'll slide right into the shank of your pipe.
Huh.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
I feel like there should be like the more you know flying
across
the screen.
The more you know. Because knowledge is power.
Man, that's crazy.
So that's it.
I got to tell you, that last one, I've never run into anybody who's had the situation where literally their stem has been too tight.
Yeah, it happens more often than you would think. A lot of folks, they might buy a new pipe and it's really tight and they're afraid that, you know, if they overwork it or something, that they will, you know, that they'll break it. And so to avoid that, they'll just want to remove a little bit of the material from that tenon, and they can do it as easily as grabbing their closest number two pencil.
Man, well, great do-it-yourself tips, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, I love seeing the stuff that people walk in a little shop like this having used before. I've seen
Frankenstein pipes.
All kinds of Frankenstein pipes. It's really great. I've seen, you know, three pipes, you know, rated for parts and all, you know, globbed together. I've seen, you know, people use staple guns and every kind of device you could think of. But yeah, it's always pretty neat to see how people engineer their own pipe fixes.
Man, that's crazy. Well, you know, here's the thing. For some of us, you know, we hear those solutions. Maybe we even try a couple of them. And you're just like, you know what? I just need to buy a new pipe. There's no shame in it. There's nothing wrong with buying a new pipe. Hey, even if you fix it up, you may still want to buy a new pipe. And if you do, have we got a pipe to suggest to you? And that's coming from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right.
We got a pipe sponsor in this show that you'll definitely want to check out. And this is a gorgeous, gorgeous corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. It is the Mark Twain.
That's right. The Mark Twain has always been a good seller here at the Country Squire. It's just a real clean-looking Dublin-shaped pipe. It comes in a pretty hefty, chunky-sized bowl.
Yeah.
Got that, you know, just obvious Dublin shape where it's a real nice kind of chunky flare at the top and narrows down towards the bottom of the bowl and has their, you know, signature there on the bottom. Large bowl, you can fit a good bit of pipe tobacco in there, and always comes with a nice black stem. So it comes in a straight variant and a bent variant.
Oh, they make a bent variant. I didn't know that.
They sure do. They sure do. And it's just a real popular shape. So real clean. You know, a lot of folks want something that's not too gaudy or intricate. They want something that just, you know, looks real, real clean. And it's just a beautiful kind of elegant, simple pipe.
Well, next time you're riding down a riverboat or wishing that you were, be sure to bust out your Mark Twain pipe. And hey, if you have a Mark Twain pipe, or first of all, if you don't, pick one up. If you do have it, or once you get it, be sure to take a picture of yourself smoking it this week. Put it on Twitter. We'll retweet it out. It's a great way to show the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. Thank you for supporting this show. And yes, big ups to Missouri Meerschaum.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from Jeremy Wolf, who says, what can we peons do to help the pipe industry detach itself from being lumped in with the cigarette industry?
Gosh, what a question, man.
This question, of course,
it's a very loaded question.
It's a loaded question.
From our good friend Jeremy up in Seattle.
Yeah, this one, of course, you know, we did an episode a while back called Separating the Stigma, where we very much specifically talked about this, that, you know, there's a difference between pipes, between cigars, and between cigarettes. Now, we've also actually done a kind of almost a follow-up Separating the Stigma in terms of kind of looking at cigars especially and that sort of thing. But I think when it all comes down to it, I probably shouldn't even say that, but I will. Most of us probably want our pipe community as far away from the cigarette stigma and community as humanly possible.
But most of us, I think, would say yes. And the reason for that is very practical, right? There's just so many differences between the two, and because cigarettes have come under, you know, such incredible pressure over the past, you know, 3-4 decades, that they've grasped on. It's kind of like a drowning person. They grasp on to anything close to them to try to pull themselves up. And one of the closest things to the cigarette industry, of course, just by nature of tobacco, is the pipe and the cigar industry. Even though it's a very different product, it's close enough to be grabbed onto, and so they can kind of latch on and you know, whatever favor
we'll
they
take
might
you
get
down with us.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. So what an interesting question. I don't have a great answer, to be honest, but I think, again, this is going to have to go back to advocacy. People are not aware of that. You know, people don't even think about pipes as much as they used to. And so when you talk about people, you go to the doctor's office and they ask you, are you a smoker? Check yes or check no. You want to tell them, you don't immediately want to say yes. You want to answer, I'm a pipe smoker.
Exactly.
Does that count?
Like, circle it and write in, this is not a yes or no question.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And a lot of times doctors and dentists and others will say, oh, well, I'm not talking about that. We're just talking about cigarettes.
Exactly. You know?
That's right. And so there's something to be said for that. Why is that difference there? And we should really explore that and point out to people that, just the difference in the additives and the chemicals that are involved in one and not the other. You know, I don't know. I think that's kind of where you start and go from there. But it's got to be a deliberate advocacy thing. I mean, it doesn't just happen. It's something that you're going to have to talk about. You're going to have to reach out to people like congressmen and legislators to affect some of these changes. And it involves writing letters and making, you know, statements to the public, showing up at meetings and things of that nature, and pushing back. It just really does. So anyway, we live in a time where, we are under attack as a pipe smoking community. And so we have to be more deliberate about it. There is no easy answer. I wish there was, Jeremy. But anyway, maybe we need to team up with maybe the 220 folks need to team up with the 420 folks.
I won't suggest that per se, but I will say this. One of the things I do with friends of mine who are just, you know, have just been chained to their cigarette for a long time is I really try to get them on board with the pipe.
Yeah.
As kind of like let's move you off this and move into kind of this new realm that's really very different, close enough so that it might be a bridge for you and perhaps a bridge for a healthier consumption. But honestly, yeah, anybody that I know that smokes cigarettes, I actively try to push them to get off cigarettes and move towards the pipe. And I like what you said too about kind of advocacy is just kind of representing, man. I mean, you know, get out there with your pipe, smoke it, let folks know that you are a pipe smoker. And then, you know, every chance you get to kind of separate the stigma in your own personal conversations, by all means.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for that. I'll never forget the first time I walked my dog while smoking a pipe. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most public ways I first smoked my pipe. And, you know, I'm sitting here in the neighborhood walking my dog, and, you know, it's a busy kind of Saturday afternoon, people are out and about with their kids and all this, and they see a pipe smoker. They see a young pipe smoker. And it's like, well, that's kind of interesting. You don't see that very often anymore. And so they start thinking about it. And they ask you questions about it. And they're like, well, doesn't that do this and this? Well, you know, and then you can say, well, no, it doesn't, because, you know, pipe tobacco is different. And so, you know, I think there's just you smoking your pipe in public will give people a reason to ask questions. And so, you know,
don't, 'cause you're making a statement.
You're making a statement. We've always said that when you smoke your pipe, you were making a statement. And so make a good one. And so, you know, if you're on your if you smoke primarily on your back patio, you know, smoke occasionally when you're in your car or walking down the street or maybe at the local coffee shop or something. I think it'll help, you know, kind of just engage people's minds about, you know, the differences there.
That's good, man. Thanks for the question, Jeremy. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man, these quick fire questions. These are coming in from two different users of the thispipelife.com forums.
Okay.
More on thispipelife.com in a moment. But the first one comes in from subtills87 on thispipelife.com. He says, one puff of amazing tobacco or many puffs of good tobacco?
I'd have to go... Probably with many puffs of good tobacco.
It's about quantity over quality for
you?
Well,
I mean, you know, at some point, why try something incredible if it can't ever be repeated?
Ooh.
Ever. I don't know. I mean, there's... I could see both sides of that.
I could see both sides.
It's like, yeah, you appreciate something, it's a vapor, you enjoy it and appreciate it, and then it's gone. You know, I don't know. But then... You know, if you give me something I can't get again, I almost don't want to be ruined by it. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with mini puffs of good tobacco.
I'm going to go with the mini puffs of good tobacco as well, although for slightly different reasons. Mine is like, look, if I'm smoking my pipe, I'm in it for like more than just smoking the pipe.
Sure.
It's like a time commitment. And so, you know, it's all kind of part of the process. If I only got one puff, it'd be kind of like, this isn't really what I was going for. So, yeah. Now, if it was... one puff of excellent versus many puffs of bad, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah.
All right, the next one comes in, and these are a series that Cretan Dan sent in from thispipelife.com. Yeah, he's got a good number of them. So he's got some for this week and some for next week.
Okay.
They all are kind of in the same vein,
okay,
which is kind of your appearance, which should be interesting.
Oh, okay.
Given that we're the ones answering him. Shaving foam in a can... or shaving soap and badger brush.
Okay, so are you using like the Barbasol kind of shaving cream,
mm-hmm,
or are you using kind of the old school, you know, brush and shaving soap thing?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, since neither of us shave very regularly, I have to go with you are growing it back. I'm proud of you.
That is true. Yeah.
I probably have to go with the which is regular shaving cream in a can, just because it's easy. I've actually never tried the other. I don't even know what it's like to use a brush.
I'm curious to try it.
Yeah, you know, as many people in the pipe community that use the, you know, the old fashioned, you know, straight razor and sharpening it on a strop and all that kind of stuff, and using the you know, fancy badger brush and that type of thing. I'm just not familiar with it. That's something I've never been exposed to. But I don't shave very often, so when I do, I'm just probably going to stick with the Barbasol.
You know, so, you know, one of the reasons I shaved when I did is because in late March, I've got a speaking engagement in New Orleans. And so I knew I could grow it back by then.
Yeah.
But, you know, in New Orleans, there is, I think it's in the Garden District, there's like this like specialty boutique barbershop type deal.
Yeah, what's the name of that place? I know the exact place you're talking
about.
But,
you know,
about.
You go in, they like offer you a Guinness while you sit in your chair to get cut, you know, get cut and everything. And
yeah.
You know, I might, after it's all said and done, get one of those old, because I've never had like a straight razor shave.
Yeah.
I might do that.
Could be fun.
I'd be kind of curious to see what that experience is like.
Yeah.
But between the two, I am going to pass, because honestly, I go electric razor and that is pretty much it. That's why I look like I look, and that's why the internet is making fun of me.
I thought you were going to say weed eater, but electric razor, that also counts.
That's about right. All right. Tie knot, traditional knot, Windsor, etc., or fancy knot?
Do you go
Eldridge?
When you're tying a knot, do you tie a traditional knot like a Windsor or an Eldridge knot or something fancy? The only one I honestly know of is the Windsor, and the I think it's called the four in hand. You just kind of, you know, loop it over. But the easy traditional style knot. You know, that's kind of where I live. I don't wear ties as much as I used to. I was in the financial industry for a little bit, and I did some real estate stuff. And you know, in those lives, I wore a suit every day. But now I just don't have any reason to.
You were not in the. You sold insurance. That is not the same as being in the financial industry.
I was a financial advisor. I was a financial advisor.
You sold insurance.
I was
a financial advisor.
But you know, it was one of those things where I did. I have to put on a suit every day, make sure my shirt was pressed and all that kind of stuff. And I just don't wear ties very often anymore. But I guess if I do, I have to go with the traditional knot.
The tie is the noose of the business world. Now, I know there's a lot of people listening to me that very much vehemently disagree with me on that. My whole thing is I don't think that women should be forced to wear high heels, nor do I think that men should be forced to wear ties. I think that they're very much similar. They serve very similar purposes in terms of, you know, the benefits visually to your appearance, but they also serve as very uncomfortable things that are completely unnecessary. Now, again, that's just me. I know there are many people out there that are like, you know,
some people love wearing ties.
Look, that's the thing. There's some people out there that are like, look, every gentleman should wear a tie. You're not a gentleman unless you wear one. One of our great friends busts out a bow tie every single day.
Every day.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's a thing, but it's not my thing.
Yep.
So again, I'm going to have to pass. And then finally, single-breasted with vest or double-breasted?
I probably have to go with single-breasted with a vest, and that's because I'm short. I've found that short people, or at least people of my proportions and dimensions, don't work with double-breasted suits very well.
All right, so
I'll just say that.
So the difference, of course, I know what the difference is.
Right.
But just in case someone's listening and they don't actually know.
And they don't. It's instead of the suit kind of meeting in the middle and you doing one button, it's where you've got it kind of folding over.
And you got three buttons?
No, three buttons. That can be a single-breasted. That would generally be three-breasted suit.
A three-breasted suit.
Or a single-breasted suit.
Okay. All right.
So how many breasts are we talking
about? That's what I'm trying to figure out. So I think I'm single-breasted then from that standpoint, because I like a three-button suit.
Yeah, if you like a traditional three-button suit where the buttons are all going down the middle,
that's right.
Then that's going to be just a single-breasted suit.
Well, three buttons is a little 90s, Mr. Wayne.
Right, but a double-breasted suit, you're going to have kind of the, I don't know all the right terms, but the flap is going to go farther over to the other side, and I don't know, it just doesn't work for me.
Fair enough. So we're both single?
Yes. how many breasts do you
prefer?
When
it comes to breasts... So single-breasted suits, both there.
That's right.
And great questions, Crete and Dan. He's got some more questions on appearance that are just going to be awesome for next week. Of course, those are sent in from the forums over at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com, an awesome online community that's helping make this show happen. If you have not joined up at thispipelife.com, you should do it and use the code CSR when you sign up. It's a great way to let them know that you heard about it on the show, and thus it helps support the show. Also, we mentioned this last week, and we want to continue mentioning that they're more than just the online website and forums and such. They are also on Facebook. They are on Instagram. They are on Twitter. So whatever your social media platform of preference is, be sure to type that in .com/thispipelife. You'll find them. Let them know you heard about it on Country Squire Radio.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback. Speaking of this pipe life.
Yeah.
So you and I were trying to figure out who made this joke a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sure you guys will remind us. But a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned somebody wrote in and suggested a dating website of this pipe wife.
This pipe wife.
This
right.
pipewife.com.
Right.
Well, you know, at the suggestion, I did send it in, and Nicole from the thispipelife.com team.
Right.
This is what she wrote back when I mentioned that to her. She said, I was lucky I was at a red light when you guys read that, the This Pipe Wife letter. I was laughing so hard, I probably would have swerved into traffic.
It's really great. I'm telling you, it's an opportunity. It's ripe. Very
well,
ripe.
The idea officially pitched.
So like I said, if there's a farmers only, I mean, there can certainly be thispipewife.com. You're just saying?
No comment.
Yeah, it's a thing.
All right. So we also got this next one comes in from the JB Smokes on YouTube. He says, your advice about shocking the senses is, of course, last episode, The Art of Tasting.
Yeah, yeah.
Your advice about shocking the senses is what happened to me with my first English, Sutliff number 5. I've only had one tin of it, but the tin at that point in my pipe smoking journey was something that I will never forget. That was 5 years ago. I'm just now starting to appreciate the tastes and nuances in tobaccos. Just this past month, I've been smoking
McCraney's Currituck?
Currituck. and then smoked simple 5-1 or 5100. I can finally differentiate what Perique really is and does in a blend. Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad that...
that's great. Yeah.
Great feedback from...
I think, and the Sutliff number 5, of course, a great English blend. That's probably one of the best Sutliff tobaccos, I think, that they make in a tinned version. And I mean, it's just such an interesting thing. You know, it's that same thing we talked about. A lot of folks, they start smoking, you know, sweet aromatic tobaccos, and that first English blend they smoke, they're like, wow, I didn't know tobacco could taste like that. And just kind of, it does. It shocks your senses. It's a good exercise.
We also got a review on iTunes. You want to read that one?
Yeah, it comes from Jimbo Inferno. He says, a top shelf podcast. What can I say that hasn't already been said? This is a top shelf podcast. John David and Bo are so informative, yet so entertaining, which is a difficult balancing act to master. Episode after episode, I grow to appreciate this wonderful hobby more and more. If you are a pipe smoker or are considering taking up the pipe smoking hobby, this is the podcast for you. So... there it is. Thanks so much. Yeah. Thanks so much, Jimbo.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, from that particular iTunes review, the top shelf, I've borrowed that now.
Yeah.
And I'm using that for a lot of Podastery promotional stuff with podcasts that we do as top shelf podcast. I think that's such a cool way to describe it.
I'm good with that.
I love that. That's so cool. Thanks so much, Jimbo. We really appreciate that. Also, shout out to club member Mark VV, who also wrote in. He said, man, I love this episode, talking, of course, about shocking the senses, not shocking the senses, the art of tasting.
Right, art of tasting.
Which
right.
The art of tasting was kind of shock your senses.
Right.
He says, I love this episode. Really helps me conceptualize how to expand my tasting vocabulary. That word exercise John David touched on really made me think about how my own propensity to settle on sweet or savory or bitter are some really base terms that are far too simple. Seriously, guys, thanks. Mark BV.
That's great. I love some of our live feedback too. Of course, you were getting grief for not knowing what a Dremel tool is.
Of course,
which is great. we have some other feedback that I probably won't read on the live air.
Probably for the best. We got some great feedback too. Some suggestions on tool or with rebinding pipes and DIYs.
That's right. Another trick for loose stem is using clear fingernail polish, which is also removable. So kind of interesting. You can take your little Q-tip and rub that clear fingernail polish either around the tendon or inside the mortise hole, and that can do a good job. Let's see, Vincent De Virgilio at VIP Vinny D on Twitter. He says, I actually use vodka on a Q-tip to clean it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
An old timer told me that trick a while ago. So you can kind of clean the inside of the mortise hole with that. And then, of course, other folks, chiming in that the beeswax seems to work pretty good. Portland Paul says, rub beeswax on the tendon, smoke it for 4 bowls before taking it apart again. And that seems to be my favorite trick. If you will put that beeswax on the tendon, shove it in your pipe, and you might even do that a couple times, put more beeswax on it, put it back in there and again, and then leave it, let it sit, and then smoke it, 3 or 4 times, let it get hot and cool down, hot and cool down, hot and cool down, and just really give that beeswax an opportunity to, kind of soak in there. Don't touch it, don't twist it, don't remove it, just smoke it 3 or 4 times. I really have had a lot of success with that, so hopefully you will too.
Absolutely. And continuing on the theme of giving me grief about not having a beard, somebody did mention, I should actually give the shout out of who it was, for looking at the two of us on the screen, it's like watching Pipe Jesus and the Boy with the 5 Loaves. That from Greg Bolin on Twitter. Well done, sir. Well done, sir.
That's hilarious.
Also, I'm actually surprised that tonight on the live show, I'm not getting grief for the fact that I have no beard, yet I am literally wearing the Beardcore t-shirt.
Oh, that's good. You know what's funny? I noticed that earlier, and I thought to myself, I almost put on my Beardcore t-shirt today as well.
Oh, that would have been great.
I should have done that. That would have been great. Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. You're getting it back.
Slowly but surely.
I like this thing that Varge sent in, a GIF of Justin Bieber.
No, don't even.
I'm just saying that you know, he might have a little more facial hair than you.
I know. Yeah.
He actually doesn't, but you know, he does question the fact, so that's good.
That's my Justin Bieber. Just busting a move right here. Guys, great live feedback. Great. We always love seeing this roll in during the live show. And hey, if you've never tuned in for a live show, you absolutely should. We do it on Monday nights, historically, traditionally, and for at least the next few weeks at 6:30 Pacific. That's 6:30 Central, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. Now, in the next little while, that may be subject to change.
Yeah.
We may be pushing that back. We don't know for sure, but we're going to have to
put
that out there so it doesn't shock you when we announce it coming down the line. But for now, and definitely for next week, join us at that time at CountrySquireRadio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Guys, I mentioned at the top of the show, we want to encourage you. If you have not done so already, help make this show happen. Become a patron. Go to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio for even just $1 an episode. It's a great way to ensure this content continues on to the quality and consistency that you've come to know. If you're listening on the Satchel podcast player, all you have to do is click be a patron. It's right there on your screen right now, and it'll take you right there. So do that. Help us make the show happen. We greatly appreciate those of you who are. And I think that's all the...
I think that covered it.
Pretty much covered it.
Man, let's go break some pipes so we can fix them with, like, you know, duct tape and rubber bands.
I'm really curious to see the makeshift solutions that are going to be rolling in this week.
I want to see some Frankenstein pipes. You know, one thing I want to do before, you know, I hang up my tobacconist apron in this life is inside the shop somewhere have a wall of shame so that people can hang their pipes up or put their pipes up that are just awful. and we would love to see yours, particularly the ones that you've Frankenstein back to life.
Man, well, we'll be looking for those this week. But until then, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.